Treshir im Sacht Psachim Daf Kuf Sayin, and we begin on the first words. Amarava, Hilchasa da Loch is Tom Kaddish. Even if somebody ate or drank, he still can make Kiddush, even though, as we learned yesterday, one should not eat or drink anything prior to making Kiddush. For Tom Mavdal, and the same thing for Avdolah, if somebody ate or drank before making Avdolah, he could still make Avdolah. Furthermore, tells us Rava, Umishla Kiddush Be'erev Shabbos. If somebody didn't make Kiddush on Erev Shabbos, so Mekadosh V'Holich Kolayon Kulay Ad Matzoi Shabbos, he can make Kiddush all of Shabbos. Similarly, Mishla Hivdol B'Matzoi Shabbos, if somebody didn't make Havdolah Matzoi Shabbos, Mavdol V'Holich Kol Shabbos Kulay, he can make Havdolah not the whole week until Tuesday evening, as we explained. The Chasam Sofer asks, what's the connection between these two halachas? We're saying the halacha that can you make Kiddush even though you ate? Can you make Havdolah even though you ate? And another halacha, till when can you make Havdolah? What's the connection between these two halachas? So the Chasam Sofer answers that yesterday we learned, Rav Asi said, unlike Rava, that if somebody ate before Havdolah, he can't make Havdolah that night anymore. So Chasam Sofer says, one would think, the why did Rav Asi say that then? Because Rav Asi holds, you ate before Havdolah, we so to speak punish you that you can't make Havdolah that night, but you have 3 more days to make Havdolah. So we would think that if you don't hold that you can make Havdolah all week, or you would think that these two halachas travel together. Why can't you eat? Why can't you make Havdolah after you eat? Because you can make up and make Havdolah for 3 more days. Tells us Rava that these two halachas don't travel together. And even though I also hold, says Rava, that you can make Havdolah till Tuesday evening, I still hold that if you did eat before Havdolah, you could still make Havdolah afterwards, and these two halachas are not connected. Ameima pasach lahashmatz the Rava b'haylishnam. Ameima said Rava's psak this way. Amar Rava, hilchsa tamah kaddish, if somebody ate or drank before Kiddush, he could still make Kiddush. Tom Mavdal, if somebody eats before Havdolah, he can still make Havdolah. Mi shalai kiddush be'erev Shabbos, if you didn't make kiddush on Friday evening, mekadosh v'hoylech kolayim kulay, he could still make kiddush all day Shabbos. Mi shalai hivdol matzoi Shabbos, if somebody didn't make Havdolah matzoi Shabbos, mavdol v'hoylech kolayim kulay. So a memer is saying differently than the first version. According to the first version, if somebody didn't say Havdolah matzoi Shabbos, he has till Tuesday night. According to Maimer, he only could say through Sunday. And the Rishonim explain what is the basis of this machlokes. So they say, as we explained yesterday, when we say that you can make Havdolah after Matzoi Shabbos, is it because it's Tashlumim, it's a make-up, the Chazal gave you a time to make up if you missed Havdolah, or is Havdolah, the Zman, is not limited to Matzoi Shabbos, it's through Sunday, the first day after Shabbos. Rava holds that you can make it up. Till when could you make it up? As long as it's considered, as we learned yesterday, after Shabbos, till Tuesday evening. A Maimer, on the other hand, holds there's no make-up for Havdolah. But this man, the time that Chazal said that you could say Havdolah, is till Sunday evening, because that's still considered Matzoi Shabbos, because Sunday is the day after Shabbos. However, Duran asks, if that's Pshat, then the halacha is that if Tisha B'Av comes out Matzoi Shabbos, so we can't make Havdolah Matzoi Shabbos, we make Havdolah Sunday night. So according to Rava, you can make Havdolah till Tuesday night, it's fine. But if Amaim is saying that you can only make Havdolah till Sunday night, so how come you can make Havdolah Sunday night after Tisha B'Av? So the Rishonim explain, it must be that since we're learning that Havdolah is Midrabbanan, Chazal, when they established the chiyuv to say Havdolah, included in that takana, included in that din, that if Tisha B'Av will be Matzoi Shabbos, the zman, the time for saying Havdolah under those circumstances, is not Matzoi Shabbos Sunday, rather it's Sunday night. Says the Gemara, Mayinuka Amilei, they said Mayinuka Makshisha, Breder of Chizdel Ravashi. Mayinuka Makshisha were the sons of Rav Chizda. The Gemara in Masechta Basra says that Rav Chizda had two sons. They both had the name Mar. So how do I know which one is the younger one and which is the older one? So Rashi explains, Mayanuka was the younger one, and Makashisha was the older one. That's how they distinguish between them. Taisma Basra says just the opposite. Mayanuka was the older one, and why was he called Yanuka? Because he was born when Rav Chisda was Yanuka, when Rav Chisda was younger. And Makashisha was the younger one, and he was born when Rav Chisda was Kashisha, when Rav Chisda was older. Mayanuka Makashisha Bered Rav Chisda said to Rav Ashi, Zimnechode ikla ameimel asrin. Ameimel once came to our city. V'loy havelon chamra. We didn't have any wine. I seen him like shikra. So we bought him beer to make avdala. V'loy avdal. He refused to make avdala on beer. Ubas tavas. Ubas means he went to sleep. Tavas, hungry, because he didn't eat. L'macher, the next day. Tarachnav I seen him like chamra. We went and we found wine. The avdol, and then he made avdol of a tamid and he ate. Lashana, the next year, su iklal asrin, he came again to our town, and again lo havelon chamra. We didn't have any wine. I seen a shikra, so again we brought beer. Omar, so he said, ihocha chamam medinahu. Obviously, this is a popular drink in the city. Avdol, so he used it for avdolah, the tamid, and he ate. So now we begin the sugya of making Kiddush and Havdalah not strictly on wine. So the Rishash asks a question. The first year, a Maimer refused to make Havdalah on beer. So why, when he came back, did they give him beer again? Didn't they know he wouldn't make Havdalah on beer? The first year he refused to make beer. The next year he came again. The Shana Su'ikal Asrin, Lahav Lachamra Sina Shikri, bought beer. He already told, they already know he won't make on beer. What are they bringing him beer? So he says, let's look at the language of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say, Asina Le Shikra. We brought him beer. They didn't bring him beer. Because they knew he wouldn't use beer. I see the Shikra, we brought beer for ourselves. And then he said, oh, I see you keep on using beer. So it's obvious it's a Chamam Medina. Now the question is, on the first year, where there was no wine available, and he refused to make Havdalah on beer. We learned that of course you have to make Havdalah, but if you have nothing to make Havdalah on, you're allowed to eat. This wasn't something that he asked for. So why did he not eat? Just because there was nothing to make Havdalah on, there was no wine. So Mefarshim give two possible answers. One was that of course Al Pi Din, if you have nothing to make Havdalah on, you're allowed to eat, but he was being Machmer. Another Teretz is that he knew that the next day they'll have wine. Since he knew that wine will come the next day, that's why he didn't want to eat and he waited for the wine. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina Tlas. From this story, we can learn three halachas. Shema Mina, Hamavda B'Tfilah, Tzorach Shiyavda B'Kais. Even though somebody makes Avdol in Shemana Esri and Matzoi Shabbos, he says Atochan Antanu, he still has to make Avdol. Because surely a Meimer said Atochan Antanu. Still, he wanted to make Avdolah. Furthermore, Bishmamina, Osalal Adam Shioichal Kodim Shiavdi, you're not allowed to eat, like we just spoke, until Avdolah is made. And also, Bishmamina, Mishloi Hivdol, but Matzoi Shabbos, if you don't make Avdolah, Matzoi Shabbos, Mad Vahal Kol Shabbos Kuloi, you have time to make up. As Taisus, we don't have a proof that you can make up all week. We only have proof that you can make up on Sunday. So what's he say you can make up till Tuesday? So Taisus answers that since the halacha is that you can make Havdalah till Tuesday, although from the story from a Maimer, I only have a proof that you can make Havdalah on Sunday, the Gemara says you can make it till Tuesday because that's the din. Now the Rashbam asks, the Gemara could have said one more thing, that we can make Havdalah on Chamam Medina, because from what happened in the second year, we saw that he can make Havdalah on Chamam Medina. So the Rashbam gives two answers. One answer he says is that the Gemara is only extrapolating dinim about the order, the sequence of making Havdalah, that you have to make Havdalah and then you could eat, even though you made Havdalah in Shemana Esrei, you should repeat Havdalah. The Gemara is not going into details about the Havdalah ceremony, so to speak, itself, what beverages should be used. Another thing the Rashbam says, another teretz is, that if there's no wine available, that you're allowed to use a Chamam Medina is obvious. And the Gemara didn't have to say that that's the din, because of course that's the din. Ask the Gemara, Bamnei Rav Hunam Rav Chisda, Malu dusha shikra. Ki kiddush be made on beer. Omar, so he said, Hashta, Omar pezuma. Beer made out of barley. The ta'ani, beer made out of figs. The asni, beer made out of berries. The bar me name Rav. I asked Rav. Rav asked Rav Chia. Rav Chia asked Rebbe. V'loi pashut lei. It wasn't obvious to him if it can be made, used to make kiddush. Shikra, beer, their beer used to be made out of dates, which was lower quality. Mibayit, is it a question? Savimine, so he thought, that although kiddusha hudala makdishinon, kiddush may not be made on beer. Kiddusha hudala makdishinon alaway, you can't make kiddush on beer. Avdule mavdilin, havdala may be made. Amalei Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda said, Hachi Amar Rav, Shem Shem Magdishin Malav, anything that can't be used for Kiddush, Kemach Em Avdin Malav can't be used for Avdalah. So Rishonim make the following point. Rav is clearly arguing on a Meimah, because we learned in the previous Gemara that a Meimah said we can make Avdalah on beer. So as far as Avdalah, we clearly have a Machlaikus. The question is, do we also have a machloikis regarding Kiddush? Because there's two ways of looking at it. On one hand, Rav says Kiddush and Havdalah travel together. And that's why he says neither can be used. And on the other hand, a Meimer who says Havdalah can be made on Chama Medina will obviously hold that Kiddush also can be made on Havdalah. Kiddush also can be made on Chama Medina. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say no. That although a Meimer taught us that Havdalah can be made in Chama Medina, he won't necessarily argue with Rav regarding Kiddush, and he will hold that Kiddush could only be made on wine. And we're going to talk Halach Lamaisa soon. Et Nami, Amrav Tachlif Baravdimi Amashmul, Kshem Shem Magdishin Alav, just like can't make Kiddush in Chama Medina, Kach Em Mavdin Alav, so too shouldn't you make Havdalah on it. Levi Shadalei, Rav, Levi sent Rav shikra beer by tleisa magni. So there's two ways of learning this. Either it was filtered 13 times, or it was soaked in dates, 13 different bunches of dates. So it had a very rich taste. Have a bosom tuva, it was very tasty. Omer, such a high quality beer, kigain zeh roy lekadosh alav. You could say kiddush on it. V'loy malav kol shishirois v'shishbach spoilim. You could say all praises of Hashem from it. It's so wonderful. B'layla tzare. It was a strong diuretic, and he had problems. Amar miyasran. It gives us these type of pain. Yasran is yisurim, mefaisin, and we're going to use such a liquid, such a beverage, to praise God. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Ed barabim. I will make a nether barabim. So the way the Rambam explains it is that although we know that normally a neder, a vow, could be annulled, we have a concept of Hataras Nedarim, Erev Rosh Hashanah, but a neder that's made, Tosfos says, Al Das Rabim, cannot be annulled. So he said, Eda Burabim, I'll make a neder Burabim. Tosfos says you have to add the word Al Das Rabim. He meant that it can't be annulled. Others say that, not like Tosfos, other Mefarshim say, he didn't mean to make a neder that can't be annulled. He wanted to make a public announcement. Eder, I'll make a vow, berabim, in public, that everybody should hear it, to lay eshta shikra, that I won't drink beer after this experience. Amarava, ishta mei zurayin, I prefer to drink water in which flax is soaked, which obviously is quite foul, to lay eshta shikra, rather than drinking beer because of this effect. Vamarava, tehevi shikusa shikra, even though what he called somebody should be a pauper to the Mekadosh HaShikra if he makes Kiddush on beer. Rav Ashkechei Rav Huna, the Kaddish HaShikra. Rav Huna met Rav that he made Kiddush on beer. Omlei, Shar Abba Lemikni Istarim HaShikra. Once Rav, who was called Ava, started making profit on beer, because he went into the beer business, that's when you started using beer for Kiddush. Shari Abla Mikra Istri Mishikra. Once you started making profit from beer, you started using beer. So here we learned the sugya of making Kiddush and Havdalah on Chama Medina. So it's clear from the Gemara that we learned that Havdalah is the easiest thing that you can make on Chama Medina, because the Gemara clearly says that Amemi used Chama Medina. When? So the Gemara gave us two times when Chama Medina may be used. When there is no wine available. And again, the lack of wine doesn't necessarily mean that it's totally unavailable. But if it's very expensive, or kosher wine is difficult to come by, the Pesach can say that's called wine is unavailable. And in fact, I saw, interesting din, if we learn these sugyas, it's very obvious that they always used wine, kosher bracha, when they made Birchas Hamazon. Yet, in our world, it's very uncommon. By Simcha, we use a kosher bracha. But normally, when somebody benches with a mezumin, they don't necessarily use kosher bracha, because they lived in a world where wine wasn't readily available. And if it's not readily available, they didn't use it. Or, another het, apparently, is if Chama Medina is very acceptable to you, it's something you like Rav liked the beer, that's another time where perhaps Chama Medina could be used. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says, certainly preferentially you should use wine Favdala, but if not, you can use Chama Medina. But it's obvious from this Gemara that they can't, and we spoke about this previously, you can't use bread for Avdala. Because otherwise, when a Maimah came to that town and didn't have wine, why don't they use bread? It's obvious that bread may not be used for Havdalah. Why? Because by Kiddush, there's a concept of Kiddush b'makom suda. So Kiddush is linked to bread, it's linked to the meal. So if you don't have wine, you could use bread. However, Havdalah, there is no din of Havdalah b'makom suda, and therefore, if you can't use bread for Havdalah. Friday night Kiddush, the Mishnah Berurah and all the Pesachim say that Chama Medina should not be used. And if somebody doesn't have wine or grape juice or can't drink wine or grape juice, he should use challah. He should make Kiddush al pas. Shabbos by day, the Mishnah Berurah says, if wine is not readily available, or if other beverages are much, if Chama Medina, I shouldn't just say other beverages, if Chama Medina is much preferable, then you can make Kiddush on them. Now, what is Chama Medina? So the best way of defining Chama Medina is by defining what it's not. Rav Moshe says, and basically everybody says this, anything that's drunk just to quench your thirst is not Chama Medina. So that's why water, or Rav Moshe says soda, is not Chama Medina. Because when do people drink water or soda? If they're thirsty, they take a drink of those beverages. Chama Medina has to be a beverage that you drink not because you're thirsty. What would be an example? A coffee, a tea. People don't necessarily drink coffee or tea because they're thirsty. At the end of the meal, a lot of people drink a tea, not because they're thirsty. That's Chama Medina. The Brisker Rav takes it a step further. He says Chama Medina has to be something which is an alcoholic beverage. It's actually a Me'iri. And that's why even people who don't use wine for Kiddush Shabbos by day, as the Mishnah Berurah says, use whiskey or liquor, because it's an alcoholic beverage. Now, when we speak about using whiskey or liquor for Kiddush by day, the question is, how much do you have to use? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you have to use a revius. He says, although we're saying that you don't necessarily have to use wine, but you have to use the same amount as if you were using wine. And if you were using wine, you would have to use a revius. We're going to speak about it soon. The same thing, you would have to use a revius of whiskey and drink Malay Lugmav, like we're going to learn soon. The Marsham disagrees. The Marsham says that he was by the Rupshitzer Rebbe, by the Lublina Rebbe, and he saw them make Kiddush Shabbos by day, and they used a small schnapps cup. Because his explanation is, a small cup of schnapps is the same like a revius of wine. What does a revius of wine mean? Because it's something chashiv, it's something significant. By whiskey, you don't need to have so much to be considered significant. Even a small cup is already considered significant. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Eim Katshim El Al Yayin. We only should make Kiddush on wine. Veim Mevorchim El Al Yayin. We should only make a bracha on wine. So Gemara assumes that what does the Braisa mean? That you don't make a bracha Rishayna only on wine. Ask the Gemara,
Ata shikr v'mayu. Somebody drinks beer or water. Mimloim v'chinar le'shakel ni'bedvaroi. Don't we make a shakel ni'bedvaroi in it? Rabbi, so Rabbi says hachi kama. This is what the Braisa means to say. And Omrim havei kosh abrach levaruch. The only beverage that's used for kosh abracha for birchas hamazon is elayin, only wine. Tana rabbanon emekachim ala sheicha. We shouldn't use beer. Mishum Reb Lezer Reb Shimon Amru mekachim. You are allowed to use beer, as we discussed. Chama medina mitamis yain. How much wine do you have to drink? If you make kiddush and wine, kolshu. So the Tanakam says just a drop. Rav Yosi, by Yehudaima, b'loy lugma, a cheekful. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, v'chein tani Rav Gidl de Menarish, hamakadish. If someone makes kiddush with tam b'loy lugma and he drinks a cheekful, yotza. Memlav, however, if he drank less, lo yotzi, he was a mekayim kiddush. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, anan tanina lo. I'm the one that quoted this brisa. And it wasn't like Gidl ben Menashe, it wasn't like Gidl ben Menashe that said it, nor was it Gidl ben Menyomi, it was a Gidl Stama. It was Rav Gidl Stam that said this halacha. Ask the Gemara, Lamay Nafkamina, what's the difference which Rav Gidl said it? And says the Gemara, Lamirma the day of the day. If we will find a Rav Gidl saying something different. So if it's Rav Gidl without any surname, we'll have a kasha. If it's another Rav Gidl, it won't be a kasha because he wasn't the one that said this halacha. So here the Braisa taught us that how much wine do you have to drink? A kumloi lugma. So the Rishonim explain. There are two different shiurim. There's a shiur of meloi lugmav and there's a shiur of kimloi lugmav. Meloi lugmav means two cheekfuls. Kimloi lugmav means a cheekful that one cheek is full of liquid and the other cheek looks like it's full but actually has no liquid. And they say that that's actually less than a revius. It's a roiv revius. It's most a revius, and that's enough that you have to drink to be mekayim mitzvahs kiddush. So the Rishonim ask, and what's going to be if you have a person like Oig Melech HaBoshen, who's very large, and his cheekful is more than a revius. So how much does he have to drink? Is he have to drink a revius, or does he have to drink a cheekful? It seems that most Rishonim say that Meloy Lugmav is a kula, not a chumra. We allow you to drink a Meloy Lugmav, you don't have to drink a revius. But if your cheekful is more than a revius is adequate. Now there's another shayla. When we speak about a cheekful that has to be drunk, what is the halacha? Does one person have to drink it? Does the Mekadish have to drink it? So certainly, as we've said earlier, lechatchila, the right thing to do is that the person who makes Kiddush should drink Meloy Lugmav, which is not really that much, and then everybody else should taste from it. But as we've said, if not everybody drinks from the wine, it's okay. And the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody else drinks the Meloy Lugmav, not the person that made the Kiddush, one of the people being Yoitzah with the Kiddush, it's also fine. The Mishnah Berurah brings a Shita that if all of the people collectively drink a Meloy Lugmav, that's also acceptable. It's certainly not L'chatchila. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if we're relying on a group of people drinking Meloy Lugmav, they have to be careful to drink it all up. B'kedei Achilas Pras. Tafika Yam disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. He says, K'dei Achilas Pras is a Dinan Achila. That when the Torah says you have to eat something, you have to eat it up in the time of K'dei Achilas Pras. Here we're not talking about the chiyuv of achila, and that's why he disagrees that if you're relying on a group drinking meloy lugmav of wine, there's no time frame to it. We learned in the Mishnah, samach lemincha, erev Pesach, samach lemincha, half an hour before the mincha, you're not supposed to eat. So, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, there's a mincha gedoyla, which is a half an hour after chatzos. On a 12-hour day, that would be 12:30. And then there's Micha Ketana, which is 3 hours later, 3:30. Ask the Gemara. When our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat Samach L'mincha, and before we begin the Gemara, there's an interesting Taisus here. Taisus says that the Tefillah, the afternoon Tefillah, is called Mincha. So Taisus says, where does it get that name? So Taisus says, because every afternoon there was a Karban Mincha brought. Ask Taisus, but there was also a Karban Mincha brought every morning. So Taisus says, if we would call it Tfilas Bein Harbayim, we wouldn't know if it means the afternoon or it means the evening. Shachris must mean the morning. So we gave it a name, Mincha, which means the afternoon. another teretz that I saw, two terutzim very similar. We know that Yitzchak Avinu was the one that established Tfilas Mincha. The only carbon that the Torah introduces, the nefesh ki sakrif carbon mincha, that the Torah speaks about your nefesh giving it, is a mincha. We know that Yitzchak was the one that was ready to be meiser nefesh. He went on the Kedah. So that's why his tefillah is called mincha. Or, and the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu brought all kabbonis besides the carbon mincha. Who was the first person to bring carbon mincha? Yitzchak. So since Yitzchak was misaking tefillas mincha, and he was also the one that was misaking carbon mincha, his tefillah is called mincha. So again, when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat a half an hour, is it a half an hour before 12:30 at 12? Doesn't mean 3 o'clock. And the Gemara explains its question. Doesn't mean 12 o'clock. Since that's the time that we have to bring the carbon Pesach, we're concerned. If you start eating, you may get caught up in eating. And you won't bring the carbon Pesach. Ask Tosfos, if that's the reason, so then as soon as a person brings the carbon Pesach, he should be allowed to eat. The whole concern is that he's going to not bring the carbon Pesach. So now he brought it, he should be allowed to eat. So Tosfos answers that we're also concerned that he's going to bring the carbon Pesach. But since he's anxious to get back to eating, he'll do it in a very hurried fashion. That's not the way to bring a carbon. So that's why Chazal said, you're not going to be able to eat anyway, so you'll do it right. Ask the Chassam Sofer, if that's Pshat, the halacha is that once the Zman for Tefilas Mincha comes, remember we learned the Masechta Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to start a Suda until you daven Mincha. So the halacha should be that you should not be allowed to eat even after you daven Mincha in the afternoon, because we're afraid you'll daven in a hurried fashion. If Taisus's concern is right. So the Chassam Sofer says that even according to the Man D'Omer, that holds that the concern is because doing the Karban Pesach right, will also have to agree that there's another concern. What's the other concern? Maybe it means 3 o'clock. The reason we don't want you to eat then is you may not be able to eat the matzah properly because you'll be full from the meal that you ate in the afternoon. And as Tosfos explains, there are two types of achila gasa. One type of achila gasa is that a person can't eat. He can't possibly eat. Says Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam that that's not called eating. For la halacha, for example, if somebody is at that state on Yom Kippur and he eats, he won't be chayif eating Yom Kippur. That's not called eating. The Shagas Aryeh says it's like eating stone. It's not food. You can't eat. But there's another concept of achila gasa. You're full. You can eat. But it's not without appetite. And that's why we want you to eat the matzah, Pesach by night with appetite. And that's why you shouldn't eat from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Ask the Rashbam, if that's the reason, we could have said it about Pesach too. We want you not to eat from 3 o'clock in the afternoon in order that you should be able to eat the Karban Pesach at night. Why did the Gemara have to single out matzah? So Rashbam says, very simple teretz. He says, Karban Pesach is a steak. It's a barbecued piece of meat. Matzah is a cracker. To eat steak, to eat Karban Pesach with appetite is not that difficult. To eat matzah with appetite is much more difficult. So that's why we're more concerned about the matzah than about the Karban Pesach. Another answer that's given is that Karban Pesach, the Gemara knows, is not, unfortunately, relevant b'zman hazeh. On the other hand, matzah is still a mitzvah deraisa b'zman hazeh nowadays. A third teretz that the Mashah gives, something that we actually learned. The Gemara said, Achilas Pesach loy ma'akfa. You mekayim the mitzvah Karban Pesach if you bring it, even though if you don't eat it. Of course, l'chatchila, you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach, but let's say somebody brought the Karban Pesach and didn't eat it, he was mekayim mitzvah Pesach. Matzah without eating is meaningless. So that's why the Gemara is more concerned about matzah than it is about Pesach. So the Gemara's question is, what is the reason we're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach? And that will impact what time for when you're not allowed to eat. Doesn't mean 12 o'clock because you have to be busy with the Karban Pesach, or doesn't mean 3 o'clock so you should be able to eat the matzah at night with appetite. Ask the Chassam Sofer. If it means 3 o'clock, you're not allowed to eat anyway at 3 o'clock, because you're not allowed to eat until you daven, as we said before. So why are you telling me that the problem is because of the matzah? The problem is you're not allowed to eat because you have to daven. So some sofer says the halacha is that even though you're not allowed to eat before you daven, but let's say you have a minyan kavua every day, or you have somebody will remind you that you daven, you are allowed to eat. So that's why matzah is a concern. They want you to eat the matzah with appetite. Tefillah is not the consideration. I'm Ravina. So Ravina says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from this brisa. Afila Agrifas HaMelech, there was a king Agrifas. The way most Rishonim learn, that he was a tzaddik, that he wanted to do the right thing. Shurogel b'teishashos, he always eats, the way we have to understand it, is from between 2 and 3 o'clock. Oysa yoyim lo yoychel, that day he may not eat, atchetechshech, until night. Now let's understand it. Iyam b'shlamas samach l'mincha k'tan etnan, that the man that you're not allowed to eat is 3 o'clock. Heine revusa de Agrifas. Now we're telling you that even though Agrifas starts eating breakfast at 2 o'clock, between 2 and 3, so that's before this man that it's also to eat, still he may not eat. Now the question is, why not? If this man is 3 o'clock and he eats between 2 and 3, why not? So Rashbam explains, since his meal always went past 3 o'clock, to start a meal, even though in the time that it's mutter, that I know for sure is going to go past the time that you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to start. Eli Amrit, that you're not allowed to eat from 12 o'clock. My review to the Agrifas. What's the Brisa telling me something special about Agrifas? Nobody's allowed to eat from 12 o'clock. So of course, when 2 o'clock comes along, he's not allowed to eat. Ella, Samach L'Michik Tana Tanan. What the Brisa is teaching us is that you're not allowed to eat 3 o'clock, not 12 o'clock. Ask the Gemara, Sof my review to the Agrifas. If nobody's allowed to eat in that time, and like we explained, even Agrifas is not allowed to start because he's certainly going to go past the right time, what's the Brisa teaching us? Hamachalo is manasura. He's not allowed to eat it. Answers the Gemara. Matatay mateisha shos lagrifus, kaaba shos de don domi. Agrifus, when did he eat breakfast? He ate breakfast between 2 and 3 o'clock. So just like we may eat breakfast on Erev Pesach, just everybody else eats breakfast earlier. So you're allowed to eat breakfast Erev Pesach. So we'd say, this is Agrifus' breakfast, and he should be allowed to eat between 2 and 3 o'clock. Kamash Malon, that no. Chazal made a din. That you're not allowed to eat at that time, it makes no difference if you did or didn't eat breakfast, you're not allowed to eat at that time. But the Pais can extrapolate from this Gemara a very interesting din. What are we saying here? That although when Agrifas began the meal, it was in a time that it's mutter to eat, since we know for sure he's going to go past the right time, he's not allowed to begin. Where is this relevant? Let's say somebody comes to shul, not shul, and he's starting to daven mincha, and when he starts davening mincha, it's before the shkia, for those that are makbir on the shkia. And it goes past, he knows that the Shemone Esrei will go for sure past the shkia. It's a minute before shkia. Nobody can daven Shemone Esrei that fast. They say based on this Gemara, you're not supposed to start davening. Because if you know for sure that you're going to go into Zman Isser, you're not allowed to daven. Another place the Pesach can say it, that if you come to a shul with a davening, with a Mekabel Shabbos, you're not supposed to daven in that shul mincha anymore. Why? Because for them it's Shabbos, you're not supposed to be davening mincha of a weekday mincha when they're davening Shabbos tefillah. So let's say you come to shul and they're in middle of Chododi. So you're going to start Shemone Esrei mincha. There's no way you're going to finish Shemone Esrei before they get to Mizmah Shir. You should not be allowed to start Shemone Esrei if you're going to go into a Zman that it's certainly going to go in a time that you're not allowed to daven. Says the Gemara, Omar Ravasi, Aval, even though we're saying that you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach, Ava Matbuhu B'mine Targima, you're allowed to dip different type of Targima. So the way most Rishonim explain Targima, it's vegetable, it's meat, but not any mezoinus. Taisu says that there are Rishonim that say even mezoinus may be eaten Erev Pesach. Rav Yitzchak Matbel B'Yarki. Rav Yitzchak used to dip vegetables. And the Rishonim discuss why does the Gemara say he used to dip vegetables. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because that's the way they used to eat vegetables. They didn't eat raw vegetables. They did eat raw vegetables, but whenever they ate raw vegetables, they ate it with a dip. Another pshat that I saw from the Maral is that although we're allowing you to eat Erev Pesach, we don't want you to eat too much. So if you eat it in the fashion that you dip it all the time in a dip, you'll eat less, because although allowing you to eat, like we explained when we began the perek, we don't want you to eat too much. Tanya Namehochi, similarly we learned in the Braisa, Hashamish Matul B'nei Ma'ayim, Hashamish could dip meat, stomach meat, for Noisman L'fnei Orchim, and give it to guests to eat Erev Pesach. Vavish and Rai L'dover, even though there is no proof to this, Zeich L'dover, no explicit proof, we have some sort of allusion to this in the Torah. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Nir L'chem Nir, Val Tizra L'koitzim. First plow, and then eat. So the way Rashbam explains it, that by plowing the field, you make the field prepared to be planted on. Similarly, if a person eats, not too much, on Erev Pesach, he whets his appetite that he should be able to eat Pesach by night with a geshmak, the matzah. Tosfos is disturbed with this pshat, because he says you can't compare eating to plowing. Because what's the story about plowing? First you plow, and then you plant. Here, so it's two different acts. Plowing and plowing. Here we eat and eat. So it's not like plowing and eating. It's two the same. So that's why some of Farshim explained that they used to plow twice. The first time they plowed was to get the thorns out. And the second time they plow was to make the ground soft, prepared. So it's like just like two eating, two plowing. But Tosfos says the point is not the plowing and the planting. The point is, plowing is a preparatory act to being able to plant properly. Similarly, eating, again, not too much and not everything, Erev Pesach is to be commended, because that gets your appetite whetted, that Erev Pesach, that Pesach by night, you'll be able to eat the matzah, Mitzvah Hashem, soon, the Korban Pesach, properly. Soon, the Korban Pesach, properly.